Hi, I'm Brenda McMahon, and this is my debut show on Radio St. Pete. I'm so excited to be here, and this afternoon I am going to have a lovely intimate chat with painter Larry Maynard. Larry, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brenda. Thank you for having me. I'm really, really excited to be here. I'm looking forward to our collaboration, so thank you again.
You're welcome. So we're on radio, so you can't see Larry's paintings, but I wanted to take a moment to describe Larry Maynard's paintings, and then I want to talk about art, process, studio business, all sorts of things. So Larry, when I look at your paintings, I feel this sense of majesty, the sense of meditation, serenity. You do beautiful oil landscapes that almost transcend time. You don't know if they were painted years ago or yesterday, and they have such a soft, ethereal quality. And when I stand there, I just stop, and I pause, and I'm present. And I really enjoy your work for that reason, because life can be so busy that it just brings you right down into the moment. So that's how I experience your work.
Well,
how would you describe your work?
Well, thank you for that. I'd certainly appreciate that. But first off, let me give kudos where kudos are due. Your gallery is just magnificent, one of the leading galleries in the area. And the reason being, I think, and you've already described it, is you, or in your career, you've been an artist yourself. So yeah. You understand my trials and tribulations. You understand what an artist goes through on a daily basis. So I appreciate that, and I'm really honored to be participating with an exhibition at your gallery. So kudos there, and I thank you so much for that. But as you just described my tunnelless paintings, yes, that is my goal or my ambition, is to create a mood or create an atmosphere that when you view my image, I want to try to hit a button within you. A button that makes you go, wow, what is that? Or puts you back in a time. What was I doing 20 years ago? Or you just want to stare at the image and allow your mind to wander. And as you described it, you had some perfectly good adjectives there. So I thank you for viewing or feeling some of the emotions that I try to create as I am creating.
Yeah, good. Well, thanks for that. Kudos to the gallery. Of course, you are having an exhibition at Brenda McMahon Gallery in Gulfport, Florida, which opens February 1st. Your work is called tonalism. Tell us a little bit about what that means, perhaps to a viewer that wouldn't know that term.
Tonalism is it's an expression created back in the turn of the century by some of the painters back then, George Ines and his son George Ines Jr., some of these people that created, you can compare it to an impressionism as far as creating a style of a painting. What it is creating not really monotone, that's not the proper explanation, but it's creating a minimal range of tones, if you're familiar with what I mean by tones. You're creating three tones, actually, is what your goal is, and trying to keep it into a very simplistic. The palette is much leaning towards earth tones. It's creating that atmosphere that we just spoke about earlier. It's creating that urethral feeling that you're trying to emit through that limited range of tones, and the palette that is just so important in the way you create that. So I'm really like to explain it in that manner.
That makes sense. And for those that want something a little bit more specific, I think about on a foggy morning when I open the door early in the morning and the sun is diffused and you look at your garden and you feel like you live in Japan, like your garden looks exotic and soft and beautiful. And I loved one of the things I read about tonalism is you use the paint the way a breath is seen on window, like that breath on a window, this soft use of paint that gives it just this, a new day, and you wait for things to rise up.
That is so true. You can look at the opposite, like a Monet, looking in, as you mentioned, looking out across this lily pond early in the morning. It's very high contrast. very colorful, absolutely beautiful. But it's a different style altogether. Like I say, the turn of the century, these famous painters came out of the woodwork and created this tonalistic tone, and it just took the public by awe. And it's just so exciting, and it's refreshing. And as you mentioned, when you look at it, you just go, ah. Oh. It allows your mind just to wander into some place that it can go. When I create an image, I don't have a specific image in mind. I just, let me be simplistic by saying, I throw paint on a palette and whatever, or on a canvas, and whatever materializes from that point on is where I go. So my mind is in that paint, and my emotion is within that paint. Now, when you view my painting, you might not have the same emotion that I have.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can create an emotion in you, and I don't really care what it is,
yeah.
But as long as it's something.
That's right.
That's what I'm trying to do. Yes. So I'm not trying to please the entire population. First of all, I'm trying to please myself.
Yeah.
And if I do please myself, and hopefully when the next viewer looks at it, I please them as well. It's like, wow, that was a successful painting.
Yeah. So I'm always interested in the trajectory an artist takes. So you're from rural Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
And here we are in Florida, and you've been in Florida for a good, did you tell me, 40?
Some years. I lost track now, yeah. But it's probably, oh my goodness gracious, probably 40, almost 50 years now.
Okay. So how did you get into this style of painting? Tell me, what was your fast trajectory?
I can give you the long version or the short version.
Take the short version.
All right. The short version was, well, first of all, I've been creative all my life, and it's even back in high school, I was on the yearbook committee doing photographs, and photography was my thing back then. I went in the military, and I continued my photographic journey. I toured Europe extensively while in the military, and I did a lot of historical sites, photographing them as I went. And then I got out of the military, out of the service, went back to an art school in Chautauqua, New York, and I studied under a gentleman by the name of George Gamsky. And I give my whole career almost to his teachings. In summary, he taught me how to see.
Mm-hmm.
He taught me that you don't look at a tree, you look at the leaves, you look at the backside of the leaf, you look at the front side of the leaf, and you look at the veins in the leaf. It makes you go, wow, okay, now I understand what you're saying. So at any rate, I opened up a photographic studio, and I was very successful there. But as I started photographing these superb images, I started painting them. I started wanting to capture that image on another medium. So I started painting them. I was like, wow, I'm really, really interested and fascinated with this style of painting. So I kind of drifted into the painting side, and I let my photographic side kind of dwindle in the past. And it's just been, ever since then, I've just been progressing, and I discovered in a tonalistic style, and it's just to where I'm at today. So that's kind of how I came to where I was, to where I'm at today.
That's neat. I love the idea that the way you do anything is the way you do everything. Mm-hmm. And so I know that I'm a ceramicist, right? So I do these Japanese-inspired meditative vessels. And I'm a quiet contemplative. I'm not a rowdy person. I'm good in public, but I don't like parties that much. And so it's sort of interesting that as I grow older, I see, oh, I keep showing up as me. There you go. The way you do anything is the way you do everything. I met you, Larry, many, many years ago doing art shows, and you did incredibly beautiful meditative wood sculpture.
I did.
And so it's interesting to me that you did you started your painting, you did the photography, you did the sculpture, and you come back, as I'm understanding, to your love of painting. But there's a line that carried through all of it, which is, I remember when I first walked up to your sculptures, I was like, oh, my goodness. It just stopped me in my tracks. And it was a no-word moment. It was a no-thought moment. It was a feeling moment. And that is how I feel about the paintings
that,
as well.
That is so true. Yeah, and you're correct. I did wood sculptures. They were wall sculptures. It's kind of a hard thing to explain what they were. But I needed a different – I was painting at the time, but I needed a different canvas. I needed a different substrate. And canvas wasn't giving me what I wanted. So I started doing some painting on wood. And then I wanted to – diversify the woods. I started making carvings or swirls and peaks and valleys in them. And then I continued painting on top of that with some exquisite paint. At that time, I was using milk paint. And milk paint just gave me a final or a beautiful finish that I just couldn't replicate anywhere else. So that's how I got into the wood portion. And I did it to satisfy myself and satisfy the public as well. And then as time progressed, though, I went back to my original painting on canvas. Actually, now I'm painting on panels. So it's given me a 360-degree revolution pretty much. So nice. I'm back where I started, and I'm going to probably finish where I'm at now because I love the medium just so immensely. I just enjoy doing it, and I enjoy talking about it.
Oh, nice. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Radio St. Pete. I'm Brenda McMahon of Brenda McMahon Gallery in Gulfport, Florida. And I'm speaking with the lovely Larry Maynard, who has an exhibition that opens on February 1st at the gallery. It runs through the whole month of February here in Gulfport, Florida. So I'm so enjoying this conversation with you, Larry. So we've both been artists a really long time, and everybody thinks it's all fun. And, we know that there's a pull. And I know for me, the pull of the studio and the muse and the business of art is that constant tension and that constant balance. What is it for you? What is that? How is it you make it through a single day? And what is the breakup of that day? Like, do you start in the studio? And how do you balance your business and your art? Because you've been in business a long time.
I have. And I've made art my career, my profession. But it's very difficult, as you said. Even for someone starting out, it's very difficult to pay the bills and yet do the thing that you love to do. And trying to find that balance, you have to be, or at least I am, very regimented. I used to have or I still do, actually. I have a schedule. When I get up in a certain time in the morning. Wait, I'll use that as an example. 9 o'clock, I'm in my studio, and I'm contemplating getting my material ready for the day. And I'll say at 9:30, I'm on a pretty strict schedule. At 9:30, I put my first paint on a canvas, and I painted for a period of time. When it comes noontime, I'm going to take a break. I take a break for a half hour to 45 minutes to get some lunch or step away from the easel. And 1 o'clock, I'm back at it. I'll go till either 4 or 5 o'clock, whatever my image is allowing me to do. But you have to be very, very regimented, I think, in order to be successful in this career. But now I do have ups and downs. There's no question about that. I may go through a dark period where I'm not selling anything, I'm not doing anything for a long period of time. But in the next week or the next month, it just goes completely opposite. I'm going to sell everything that I have. My inventory is depleted. I have to recreate. So it's a lifestyle that for a novice or a person starting out, I'd like to say it's difficult, but it's only as difficult as you make it. If you keep yourself on a regimented time schedule and you keep motivating, you don't allow these downtimes interfere with your motivation, your creativity, then you'll be successful, I think. And yeah, it's just a matter of you have to do what you have to do.
Yeah, everything in life, everything is a balance. So that's your creative part. What about the business side? What is your regimen for your business end? Because they are two different arms of our business.
Completely different. But now my mindset might be a little bit different than others because I do not worry. I don't even think about paying the bills. I just do my art. And I think, as I mentioned before, if I keep it on a regimented scale, I think the success will come from not being pressured, not being worried about how am I going to pay my mortgage next month. I think it just happens. So, and I've been very blessed, though, too. I can't say that's going to happen to everybody, but I think I've been very blessed. If I don't let those outside interferences interfere with me, I let my creativity just flow, and good things happen from that.
Right. So, but how do you get your work in front of folks? So once you've made it, that part?
That is also very difficult. I mentioned one of my articles that I had published. It's creating, to me, anyway, is the easy part. That's very simplistic. The hard part, as you mentioned, is getting in front of people. You can't sell a piece of art if it's in the trunk of your car or if it's still sitting in the corner of your studio. You have to get it in front of people, and that's the hard part. And keeping that door open is a difficult thing. Exhibiting at your gallery, for example, is getting that exposure that you need. You need to develop that reputation so people, when they look at your image, you don't have to sign it. They know where it came from. They know who the artist was, and that's what makes it unique. That's what makes it different. That's what makes the sale. There again, I'm not doing it to make money, even though money's an aftermarket or afterthought. I'm doing it to please myself, and then hopefully I'll please the next person or the person that views it. And from that additional likeness of it, the sale will be generated.
There you go. Okay, the eternal optimist.
Thank you.
In you. So I wrote an article once that it was online that said, I hate selling, but I love relationships. And my balance of life, because I have been a solo entrepreneur my whole 31 years, and so I had to make sure I made money, and I didn't want to have a discordant relationship with the business side of my art. And when I was in the studio, I wanted to zone out and be that studio person. And I, too, have a strict regimen. I relate to that a lot. But I also wanted to take the business of art and have that be part of my creative process. And I think the public sees that in my gallery because I genuinely love people. I love art. I love artists. And I love success. And I love seeing people succeed. So when we sell a painting at the gallery, we all do like the painting soul dance. And we call the artist and we let them know. And we're thrilled to lift them up. So I'm sure looking forward to doing that. We sold a painting dance in the gallery for you.
That's fantastic. And as I mentioned earlier, your gallery is just fantastic. And as you just mentioned, you are an artist. You have been an artist for most of your career. So we can relate. That's how our friendship has developed. That's how our collaboration is going to be successful. So I'm very excited about it. You can understand what an artist does, what the trials and tribulations of what an artist has to go through. So that's what makes your gallery so successful.
Thanks. And I believe whenever anyone in the world does what they love, and the force and the power and the energy of love is so much greater in this world than, you know, struggling and fighting. And so when we can stay, and it's always a balance to stay centered in your passion and your and trust. There is a certain amount of trust in being an artist that we're doing stuff. People don't have to buy paintings. They don't have to buy ceramics. We're trusting that they will be compelled to buy. They will feel our energy in the work, and they will want that in their homes.
A good example of that is if I were to place a painting in your gallery, for an example, and someone's saying they absolutely love it. They say, oh, my God, I absolutely love it. But they don't purchase it.
Yeah.
They go home, and that night they think about it. They say, oh, my God, I really love that painting. Mm-hmm. They go to bed. They wake up the next morning and say, oh, my gosh, it's still in their mind. It's like, wow, I think I have to go back and purchase that painting.
Yeah.
So that's the emotion that I'm trying to create, that they just can't get it out of your head.
Yeah.
They just have to have it. And I agree, it's a luxury item, but it's something they just have to have.
So. And where the gallery steps in is I don't wait for them to come back in. I send an email. I send a picture. I say, you love this, you know, and I tell a little tidbit about Larry and the trajectory, and I sort of drop little morsels, little crumbs to get them back to the gallery that they go, hey, I love it, because life gets so busy. Maybe they forget and they get distracted. And it's not that they don't love it, but they forgot. So that's where I go, yeah, that's all really good. But then give them a trail back to Gulfport.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I enjoy that.
Yeah. So, okay, good. We just have a few more minutes. I guess I want to end it with the question. Is there somebody in your life, it doesn't have to be an artist, it's somebody that helped you make that decision to live a creative life, to commit yourself to having art as a source of income and a dedication? Was there somebody that stands out for you?
Yes and no. I was born with that creative side within me. But as I mentioned earlier, when I went through college, when George Gamsky was my mentor, he still is to this day. He's still living. He's 90-some years old right now, but I still communicate with him, and it gives me that drive and that motivation. It's just something that I just can't put aside. So I give everything that I owe, I think, to one individual, and that is he.
That's him.
So I really, really appreciate what he's done for me and what hopefully he can do it for me in the future as well.
90 something years old. Good for George, man. That's awesome. And that's the testament to living a creative, healthy life, right?
Yeah, true.
Well, you know, everybody affects everybody. We all have an impact. We never know. For me, a stranger on a phone said, do it. And that's a long story. I'll tell it in another interview, but I don't even remember the gentleman's name. And it gave me the confidence to take that step forward. And 31 years later, I've got my absolutely lovely, beautiful, I'm devoted to Brenda McMahon Gallery in Gulfport, Florida. If you're interested in seeing any of our 24 artists, myself included, BrendaMcMahonGallery.com. We're in downtown Gulfport, Florida at 2901 Beach Boulevard South. And, of course, Larry Maynard's tonal impressionistic paintings, oil paintings, will be on the wall on February 1st, and we are thrilled to have them a nice balance to all of the energy, beauty, and love in there. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.